today, ladies and gentlemen, I've actually asked four ladies to come up here and share their stories with you. And we would pray that their stories would encourage you, would uplift you, and that you know that you're not alone. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to isolate you. Okay, but you are not alone in any situation, in any season. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, if I could ask Christine to come on up. Yeah. Woo! If I can have Grace Hahn, all the way from China. Amelia Wallace. Her son gets a dance talent from her. Okay, and then last but not least, we have Nikki Ellie. All right. Okay, for those of you who don't know me, I'm trying to find a word that would describe me best. I actually like color coordination. And I was trying not to be too that way inclined for this weekend. And so I asked, I didn't even ask the ladies to colour coordinate, and yet. Look what we're wearing. Isn't God good? Hey? Oh, look at that. They even organised themselves. Alrighty then. Alrighty, ladies. Okay, so my partner up there has already put the photos up there. But Christine, I'm just wondering if you could explain to us this photo that we've got up here. Who are those men in your life?
Hello, can you hear me? Okay. For all the mothers, happy Mother's Day. I just want to introduce myself, and Malia asked me to share the testimony today. I just said to myself, I cannot go on life, I cannot go on church without sharing what God has done over my life for the past 1 year that I've been a mother. So I hope you will be encouraged later on for my testimony. But just to explore my family, this is my husband, Herbert. I don't know, I think he's outside. I just want you to know that he's an answer of a 7 years constant prayer. He got saved in this church. His first Sunday in this church, he surrendered his life to Christ. And from then on, he's a follower of God, and we are leading one of group, which is the Green Lane Harmony, and he's the leading the men, I'm leading the ladies, and praise God with that answered prayer.
Okay.
Yes, and this is our baby, first baby. He's a honeymoon baby. So the first week that my husband surrendered his life, within the 2 weeks, baby conceived. So he's a honeymoon baby. So praise the Lord.
Shot Herbert.
He just turned 1 year old last April 29, and yeah, God has just been faithful in our lives, and he's just amazing what he has done, and I believe that he's got more plans in our life. And that's me. As you can see, I'm still stressed, I think, but praise the Lord. Yes, that's all for my family. Thank you.
Believe it or not, Christine said to me, I don't know what to say. Okay, Grace, I was looking through some magazines at home, you know, those sort of fashion, you know, who's who in Auckland, and we came up with this photo. Tell us more.
So, yeah, this is my husband, Jeremy. We actually met in this church 13 years ago, something like that. We were just friends. You know, she is my sister in Christ. So we have Zoe on the right. She's 3 years old. She is my personal entertainer. She loves to tell you a joke and make you laugh. And my one way of punishing her without lifting a finger is I don't laugh at her jokes. And I do anything. So last year, December, we welcomed our second daughter, Kayla. She's 4 months old, 5 months old. She's when I read the Bible, I see God delights in us. And when I see her, she really is my delight. She just smiles without you even trying. So taking photos for her is way easier than for Zoe. Yeah, that's us. Sorry, I can't follow what Christine just said. That's unfair. That's my family.
Okay, and so then, thank you, Grace. I went to Gani and Chari's house, and then to my surprise, I saw a photo of Amelia's husband and his wife up there. So, Amelia, please, if you can explain this photo that's about to come up. It's actually my husband and his sort of photo thing.
Oh, all right.
Can so, you see Brandon and Emma up the back there? They look like they're on the wall.
Yeah, so that's the South Africa Samoan Tongan family. So... So we're at every nation.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Derek. Now, Derek obviously didn't look like that when I met him. but he's been aging gracefully. And... and to be honest, the topic is enjoy. We are still enjoying each other so much.
Oh.
And that's my handsome Tongan son-in-law, Wantina. When he came into our family, he became Joe. So Wantina became Joe when he met the South African family. That's Melissa and little Isabella. Isabella's about 2.5 years old now. And some of you would know Isabella. She's part of the children's church downstairs. Yep. And then there's Mr. Brandon Wallace and Mrs. Emma Wallace, my handsome son and daughter-in-law. And they're both married in New Zealand. So yes, we are an every nation family at home too, which I love. So that's us.
Praise God for every nation. Not that we set this up to encourage singles to cross-pollinate within the church family, but, you know, stories, you know, they need to be encouraged. Anywho, moving along. Okay, so we've got the lady who's full of fun. Nikki, you look like you're having fun in this photo that's coming up. Would you like to share who's in that?
Well, this photo was taken at Matt and Kylie's wedding. And we had to act like Matt and Kylie, and so that's me acting like Kylie and Brian acting like Matt. So, and you want me to go through the ones?
Yes, please.
On the other side? At the top is my eldest daughter Emma and her husband Bryce. Emma is 38. Then down the bottom is Alana and Jordan. And then in the middle is, just to prove to you all that Asher actually did get married. And his absolutely gorgeous, stunning wife, my daughter-in-law, my one and only daughter-in-law, whom I love dearly, Rebecca. And then surrounding Asher and Rebecca are not their children. They are Brian and my absolutely adored precious pearls. So on the right is Caleb, my only grandson. That's Emma and Bryce's Caleb, and beside him is Zara, little Zara in the middle, and then Asher's holding Adele. And then the other three little girls, Myla holding Rebecca's bouquet, and beside Myla is Aria, and Rebecca's holding Lucy, and that's Alana and Jordan's three. So I am absolutely blessed with my beloved grandchildren, who are the love of my life.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you for sharing who it is that you got to mother and nurture. It's funny because when I showed Infe the photo of Asher and his wife Rebecca, and he goes, man, that guy was quick. So like even in his mind, he thought, oh, he had six kids already. So thank you, Nikki, for clearing that up. So Nikki, let's keep with you. So what do you do for fun? Because you look like you were having lots of fun there in that photo. Are you a model by chance, or
Me?
Tell us.
A model. No, that's my sister. For fun, well, as a child for fun, I used to frighten old ladies. I did, didn't I, Bri? Yeah, I did. We had a huge hedge outside our place, and the neighboring kids and I used to hide inside that, and when little old ladies came past, we'd jump out and go, rah! Because we didn't have computers or TVs 50-odd years ago, so we had to make our own fun. Yeah. So.
Yay. So for those of you who don't know, Nikki's actually from the what would you call, the mainland. She's from Christchurch, from down that way. So if you ever meet any sort of elderly woman who needs prayer, who is originally from Christchurch or that way about, goes, Lord, if this is the result of, Lord, I just pray that you would hear that woman in Jesus' name. Thank you, Nikki. That'll explain some things. Okay, Amelia, what did you do for fun back in South Africa?
Oh, back in South Africa. Oh, my word, you wouldn't want to know.
Yes, we would. Yes, we would. We're all adults in this room, aren't we?
We used to...
Oh, PG, PG. We'll go PG then.
We used to play with our lions in our backyard.
Lions in the backyard. Okay, so we've got the terror from Canterbury, and then we've got the lion tamer from South
no,
Africa.
No, seriously, when we arrived in New Zealand, some people did ask us about the lions, and I used to say, oh yeah, that's right, we have them. We actually, what we do is we extract their teeth, and then we play with them. They are pets. No, I was just being sarcastic. But I used to say, seriously, that's what we do. But, okay, if you don't believe me, just Google it. Because everything's on Google these days. Anyway, as a kid, well, to be honest with you, I grew up in church most of my life. But it was fun. We had lots of outings, lots of camps. Loved singing. And in our family, we used to love singing. So that was fun times for us. Because my aunt always used to tease me. She always used to think it was the cat coming in by the door, and because I could pitch very high at the time, and we used to show off. And so we used to have lots of fun. Just family time used to be a fun time for us. Mm-hmm. We are singing family. Coming to New Zealand, obviously life changes and life happens. And so Isabella comes along. And so at this stage, I have lots of fun with Isabella. And just enjoying having her in the home.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you, Amelia. How about you, Grace? As a studio student back in China, mainland China, what did you used to do for fun?
I used to cuddle pandas.
I'm in the wrong country.
Yeah. Don't envy. actually, I grew up It's like a commune place. We have four apartment buildings in this block where everybody lives there, knows everyone. So even though we're all single childs, we just played with each other. Like there were lots of kids and we're just running around playing, you know, catching dragonflies and throw rocks at something, mainly boys. just really like building mud pies, really simple stuff. I wish nowadays the kids can do similar things rather than, you know, fixing it on a screen. But yeah, that's. But I will say that my parents were really strict on me in terms of academic achievements, so I mostly studied. You can call me a nerd. But. Yeah, that's me.
Okay, so we've got the terror from Canterbury, we've got the lion tamer, and then we've got Poe, the panda's trainer. Christine, what did the Philippines do for you?
Wow, I used to climb a tree. Yes.
We've got fruits in the Philippines called santol. So it's just beside our house. I've got a scratch here actually, but from falling down from the tree. So I used to go there and eat. Just go up and eat the fruit, and then my mom will just waiting for me at down and just come down, but with the stick. So I don't like to go down. So it's just like, how can I come down if she's holding a stick? Yeah. So that's part of my childhood. I love to climb a tree. Yeah. I've got a mark here just to prove that. That's all.
Thank you, ladies. Okay, so with all the adventures that you've had in your young life, let's sort of move forward maybe a couple of years. Some people enjoy cooking, okay, or baking. Ladies, do you enjoy cooking? Yeah, okay. What's your signature dish? So if Amelia, I was to come to your house and you want to throw it down for me, you know, what's your signature dish?
Okay. Yep. Yeah. I'd cook you a real good curry. I like taking on the curry challenge. And maybe, it depends, because a nice, good South African biryani could also match that, so, yeah.
Thank you. I think let's pray and let's finish. I'm hungry. Nikki, what's your signature dish?
Well, as a Kiwi, I suppose I should say a roast lamb dinner, but my signature dish, according to my family, is my lasagna. Oh.
I can attest to that lasagna. Lots of good cheese. Lots of good cheese. Again, I think we should pray. Okay, Grace.
Is bragging a sin? I'm not here to brag, but you guys have not tasted dumplings, real dumplings. If you haven't tasted mine, yeah. I'm honest. That's all I will say.
Well, for me, honestly, I'm not a good cook. That's why I marry Herbert. He's a good cook.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Herbert. Thank you. Who is hungry? I don't know if it's the 2 hours of sleep or if I'm like thinking a hurry now. Dumpling and Herbert's cooking. Okay. Okay, ladies, since becoming a mother, what has changed the most? Who wants to take on that one? Since becoming a mother, what has changed the most?
First of all, my sleeping pattern. Yeah, I used to sleep like 10 hours a day, but now I'm dreaming for an 8 hours of sleep. But since I got baby, it doesn't happen. Yeah, that's all.
Apart from the sleeping thing where everyone knows, don't you feel, all the mothers, that before 10 o'clock in the morning, you've achieved so much? Don't you feel that? Like before, when I was without children, on a Saturday morning, I sleep in, you know, read my books, and by the time I get myself sorted, it was like lunchtime. But now, before even 10 o'clock, I've done 3 loads of washing, I've fed 2 babies, I've made their bed, I've changed them, bathed one, and feed my husband, and vacuum the house, and I look at the clock, oh, I'm so tired, it's only 10 o'clock.
Oh, honey. Okay, Nikki.
I can't ever remember not being a mother.
Oh.
Yeah, 38 years I've been a mother. But what's changed for me as a grandmother is that I've slowed down. Not physically, but I've slowed down physically. Oh dear. If I drop something, I leave it there until I've dropped something else. So I can pick up two things. Oh dear. No, I've slowed down so that I can stop. I look at my daughters and they just are so busy, and you know, in the car, to school, back from school, off to this, off to basketball, off to dance, off to da da da. And I think for my role as a grandmother, I've slowed down so I can stop and bend down as far as I can to see the ant trail and to look at the new baby grass that's just popping through. And that's different for me in this stage than when I was a young man. And I'm enjoying it. And God is so good.
Yes.
You know, he physically makes your body slow down so that you can be there for this next generation.
Thank you. Thank you, Nikki.
Yes, so I have to go way back too, and I would agree with Nikki. I remember before I became a grandmother, so I only have one at the moment, but before I became a grandmother, I was actually upset because I just love living life. Derek and I just love going out. We just love enjoying ourselves. I'm thinking, oh no, this is going to stop me from... honestly, I wasn't ready. And I thought, oh man, I'm going to be like an old nana sitting at home and have to to do all those nana chores. But honestly, no, Isabella, up and away she goes with us. But it is true, Nikki. You do take stock. It's amazing. I was told by friends before I became a nana, it's the best thing that ever, ever happens in your life. And it is true. Honestly, when I started embracing it, in actual fact, I didn't have a choice. When Isabella when Isabella came and she was there, honestly, your whole life changes. And I think Nikki would agree. You just change so much. And you do slow down. I've never been homed so much as I am right now. I'm sort of like, you know, those birds who were kept in that cage. But it's because, but you do it with so much pleasure. You do it with so much love. You want to do it. And it's such an honor. I thank God every day that I've got a privilege of what I've invested in my children. I've got another round and I can start investing again and laying those foundations again. And it's been an absolute pleasure and just looking forward to this journey as a grandmother.
So Nikki and Amelia, you've already sort of finished that next part of this question for me, which was, what is the most important thing to remember during that? And Amelia, you've already just answered that about enjoying it and looking at it with a different lens. Would that be right in regards to, you know, thinking that you're out there? Because, man, I was looking through this lady's Facebook page and just like her and her husband out at the spa, her and her husband up by this mountaintop, her and her husband. I was like, far out, man, this lady's adventurous. So,
yeah,
I was thinking
about that. I thought, what do I do differently this time with my grandchildren? And actually, the Holy Spirit revealed to me, you know how you lay, when I looked at my own life, because things didn't always run smooth, being a mom and raising your children, and there were flaws and there were mistakes, and I had to pick up the pieces and move on again. And it's just about 4 years ago, Derek and I came into the church very broken, very unhappy. And thank God for a man like Pastor Richard, who just encouraged us to just keep moving. And I asked the Lord the question, when I thought about the question, what would I do differently? The Holy Spirit showed me about, he spoke to me about foundation. Now, when I look back, a pretty good foundation was thrown in my life when my grandmother reared me. So I had a good foundation being laid, a Christian foundation. When I raised my children, we threw that foundation as well. But when things went wrong in my life, I thought this question sort of provoked me to look deep down inside and said, so what would I do differently? And the Holy Spirit showed me, before we came to South Africa, we were busy renovating our house. And my uncle was a builder, so he used to come and Derek used to help him, and we extended a room. And I used to watch them some days. We used to buy the bricks that they would use for building. Now you could buy the more expensive one is the clean brick, and you'd buy the bricks that's not cleaned, and then you have to clean it before you can use it. And the Holy Spirit showed me and said, you know what? Sometimes we build, but our bricks haven't. You have to chip off those bricks. It has to be clean. You can't build with bricks who still have those. Because the bricks that we would buy is bricks, it's secondhand bricks. So it had been used before. But when you want to lay your own foundation, you have to clean it properly. And so the Holy Spirit showed me there was foundation was being laid, but there were those chips that hadn't been cleaned properly. And so when there's a storm, and when the winds come and the hail and the storm, and there's going to be a weakness there. And that's what the Holy Spirit to me. When you this time when you go with little Isabella as a grandmother, make sure that there's good that it's solid. Okay. And one thing I do love about this church, and I know some of the things went wrong for me is accountability.
Yeah.
And I would encourage each and every person here this morning. I would encourage you this morning. I know it's sometimes it's you hear it from the pulpit all the time, discipleship. But I want to encourage each one of us this morning, if I just had that disciple in my life, then just maybe things would have been different. Mm. And I know there's a time and a season for everything in our lives. But I want to encourage, we've got the family here, we've got the church here. And I just want to encourage each and everyone, lay strong, good foundations. So that when the wind, the storm, whatever comes your way, you've got it together.
Awesome. Thank you, Amelia. Ladies, yeah.
As a grandmother, I am just loving watching my children parent. But shock horror, they don't parent like me. And I find that absolutely astounding. Must be the sons-in-laws. No, I love my sons-in-laws. I love them to bits. But they are not like me. But in some ways, you know, they are. So I have had to learn to stand back. Mm. I have had my time of parenting. I have parented my children. And so now it's up to the next generation. You know, Emma and Alana, you know, they need to do their own thing. My job, my role is to support and continue nurturing and protecting my relationships with my children and with my grandchildren. So one word of advice, don't parent your grandchildren. It's not your role. It's you know, you are there, as Amelia said, to, you know, to help, but the ultimate parenting is, and that's probably one of the hardest things, you know, as a grandmother. The mother heart never stops. You know, until you take your final breath, you always will be a mother. Yeah. And that mother heart just continues on.
Thank you. Okay. I'm just taking notes. And what was my question? What was my question, ladies? Oh, yeah, since becoming a mother, what has changed the most? Looking back, what would you do differently? What is the most important thing to remember? So anything else you would like to add, Grace, from that in regards to the busyness, having achieved everything before 10? And, you know, would you do anything differently? Or, you know, what would your encouragement be to mums in the same season as you? What is the most important thing to remember?
For me, you know, I find one of the difficult seasons that I went through in terms of raising my kids were when Zoe was about 2-something. I know you're gonna thinking terrible 2s, but yeah. So she's got a mind of her own and she's really stubborn. Nobody look at me, okay?
Surprise. What?
Don't cast the blame on me. So I feel like, you know, we've gone through Growing Kids God's Way, which, by the way, is an awesome tool for parents to learn and take in. And so I follow the principles of instilling good values into my daughter and telling her, we need to be kind. So hitting someone, that was not being kind. How do we be kind? We care about each other and we share our toys and things like that. So I feel like, is she deaf? Or, like, I feel like everything I said went through her head and she never really kind of responded and never, seems like she never really listened. And so one day I went to kindy pick her up. I walked into the door and the teacher came with the biggest grin on her face and said, oh, Zoe's won an award today. Immediately in my heart, I'm like, what? being bossy? And then she said, no. She's, today, apparently on the day, there was a bigger boy who hit her. Not a gentle hit, but some kind of, with some force. So normally, a child would cry or scream or tale-telling to the teacher, but she didn't do any of that. She just looked into his eyes and said, gave him a lecture about...
Again, let's act surprised.
About how, we don't hate people. Do you know that? We need to treat our friends gently. And we be gentle, okay? If you love someone, you have to be gentle and kind. When you hit me, that was not being kind. Do you wanna come to Zoe's house? You wanna come to my house? Okay, you can come to my house, but you have to be gentle and kind, okay? because in Zoe's house, everyone's gentle. And then I was listening to all of this in my mind, like, okay, this is my child, okay. It is my child. Okay. And so I see the teacher, really, she said all of that. And she said, yeah. And then they were about to go out for a little trip outside of the center. And the teacher said, oh, maybe, whatever the name was, the boy, he wasn't being very nice. Maybe we shouldn't take him with us. And so he said, no, he can come. I forgive him. Trying to hold on to something. Okay, this is my child. So all this time that I have been telling her and trying to teach her and disciplining her, she did take it in. So, and then that evening I was thinking about it and God just reminded me how patience, I know all the parents are like, oh, being a parent, the biggest challenge is being patient. But it really is. And if you look at that way, God has been so patient with us. And, he's been telling us the same thing. And we still do other things. And just, all your mothers and dads, hang in there. And the word of the God does not return in void. Mm. And they do take it in. And one day they will spill it out like that. And you just make you the proudest parent on earth.
Thank you, Grace. Yeah, I could definitely attest to that, as parents, man, we're so busy trying to instill all these godly values in our kids. And yet sometimes we don't actually get to see the fruit of it. And we've got to be comfortable with that, we've done it. Am I cutting out? We've done our jobs as parents and that other people will be blessed by the fruit of what God has done. And so, yeah, I definitely agree with that, Grace. Thank you for sharing. How about you, Christine? Do you want me to repeat the question? Let me find it. You guys are doing so well. I'm just going to sit back and listen. So out of any of those things, since becoming a mother, what has changed the most? You've answered that. Looking back, what would you do? Would you do anything differently? I know Caleb's only one, but or what is the most important thing to remember? Again, an encouragement for women who are in the same season as you.
I just want to thank Grace because as young as Caleb is, he won't listen as well. It's hard for me, but what do I do differently? I think I should spend time with God, more time with God, because when I had baby, I was so busy with all the routines that came into our life, and I just realized that I was not doing my quiet time anymore. I was just busy attending to his needs. I was just busy feeding him and doing a lot of things. But then Ate Grace, our connect group leader, said, Caleb is not a burden. So I was just saying, every time I pray, every time I do my quiet time, Caleb will be awake. And then Ate Grace said, he is not a burden, he's a blessing. So don't make him an excuse not to do your quiet time. Don't make him an excuse not to do your not to neglect your personal relationship with God. So for me, what do I do differently? Maybe, yeah, I didn't do that before, but next time I will just spend my time with the Lord, and I believe He will strengthen you after putting Him first in your life.
I'm looking at the time here, it says 12 o'clock, but you know, we were so diligent, weren't we, ladies? We had so many questions, and yet you've added so many precepts here, and I pray that everyone has caught something. In our last moments together, I'm going to jump right to that last question, okay, which is, if I can find it, yeah, what has been the most important life lesson you have learned as a mother? The most important life lesson. Part of the reason why I believe God had put you all in my heart, because I know parts of your journey, and that was my heart for today, is that, you know, we all go through different seasons in life, and that hearing it come from other women, it would be, man, I'm so not alone in this. Can I go talk to that person? So, ladies, you know, the floor is yours for the next few minutes. Any last words, most important life lesson, things you'd like to encourage the ladies with today? What did God put on your
heart? Can I share my testimony just a little bit?
Yeah, go for
Most of you know, or some of you know, or most of you know already what I've been through to having a baby. I've been to a postnatal depression 2 months after having a baby, so I came to a point where I was not able to sleep for 3 nights. I came to a point where I don't like to take care of baby anymore. Came to a point that I woke up in the morning like 3 a.m. having a shower because I was so afraid that my husband will go to work and no one will replace me for baby. And but the most important thing that I learned from this is just enjoy every season in your life, because this is just a temporary. It's not a permanent one. So in every season, God is on your side. In every season, trust God, because He will get you through. He will deliver you, and He will never forsake you. That's all.
Thank you, Christine. That was so brave. I'd love to hear her say that she had gone through postnatal depression. And so it is becoming more and more frequent in this day and age, and yet it just seems to, you know, have like a heavy stigma on it. So if you are currently going through that or have been through that, please come and talk to Christine and be encouraged, you know, okay? You're not alone. Devil's lie. You are not alone. Grace?
I think from what Christine said, I agree. Like, lean on God. Like, I mean, really leaning on Him. Because some days you just... I don't mean to, I always need to be careful not to share too much negative sides of being a mom, because it is hugely rewarding. But when you do struggle, lean on Him, and don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, there will be days that, I will be honest, it was so hard. I remember one time Zoe threw the biggest tantrum seemingly out of nothing. And I said to my husband, Jeremy, said, I've had enough. And then he said, so what do you suppose we do? Gave her back? You know, you're allowed to have a moment like that to just throw your hands in the air and say, I've had it. Who is this child? It's not mine. and it's okay to ask for help and accept help when people offer you help.
Yes,
and especially in the newborn stage. Like, I totally understand where Christine came from, because after Kayla was born, I was on the verge of being depressed, very, very close. Mm. If my mother-in-law didn't come and help me for the first 3 months, I don't know what I would do. She had some tummy issue, and she would just scream all day, all night. And I felt like I couldn't help her, I couldn't help myself. So everything's pointless, and I just want to cry, sit on the bed and cry and do nothing else. But lean on God, and I remember one night, it was about 3 in the morning, Taylor's been crying all day and all night. Usually a feed would kind of calm her down, but that didn't even work. So I was beside myself. I felt like there is no hope. what else can I do? I honestly didn't know what else I could have done to stop this. And I just remembered, you know, there's a psalm in the Bible saying, you know, just where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. So I just keep thinking about the positive things about my life, the blessings that I have, and just speak positive words into myself. I have this, I have this. This is all from God. He's been blessing me, and he's my helper. In the darkest hours, I can call upon him and just call for help. And he does not sleep. Do you know that? He doesn't sleep. So 3 a.m. in the morning, he's awake, and he's listening to my rambling about my life. And I could feel, I literally felt my spirit being lifted up higher and higher and higher. You know, if you can imagine, I felt like I was slipping into a pit, and my hands were like scratching the rocks and trying to come up, and I was going down, but as I changed my attitude to a attitude of worship and thanksgiving, I was going up and up, and something's lifting me up. So good, you get yourself good out of the pit and think, okay, I can do this. I have a help. I have a helper who's faithful, and he's a promise keeper, and he's on my side. Yeah, just remember that. And okay, also a lot of mothers feel like we need to put up a brave front that we've got everything together. Mm. Our kids should behave this way in public, and don't worry about it. I honestly went to a shopping mall one time. A kid was throwing the biggest tantrum, and I look at the mom. I gave her a smile, and I said, "It's okay. Yeah. Don't think the world is judging you by your child. They're not." I've been there, they've been there, they know what it entails for being a parent. They just kiss, they sometimes just brings the worst out of you. And it's always in public. And I used to, I'm like, Zoe, if you don't come with me, you're gonna get it. You understand? Try not to make any mouth gesture. You understand, this is your last warning. It's okay to lose it, or you know, have a bad day. It's fine.
My kids would not know that what that looks like, eh? No, none of my kids know what that looks like. Thanks, Grace. That was so good. Amelia, last words, life lesson.
Yeah. So in life we go, as we've just spoken, we go through so many seasons, and so enjoyed listening to my sisters here, and even I was encouraged, and it is true. There's one lesson that I've learned, actually a few lessons, but there's one scripture that has carried me for a very long time and in every season, and it's Romans 8 verse 28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Mm-hmm. And there was times I used to wrestle with it, because you want to twink it to your season, and the Lord would just say, no, Amelia, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And I love the scripture. I love it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. This is one scripture that I will use when the enemy comes in. This is one scripture I would hold up and say, and I would say this with tears rolling down my face, I wouldn't feel like it, but I would believe it until it manifested. I'd draw it from the heavenlies, and I'd just make it my own. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Yes. And those two scriptures, honestly, has carried me through every season of my life. And I want to, with my other sisters, I want to encourage you, embrace the season. Don't try to figure it out. Right now, I'm going through a weird season, a strange season. It's like Auckland, where you have all four seasons in a day.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, honestly, did it really have to rain again? Or like, yeah. I just put the washing out, and there it's like, I'm talking about the spiritual, it's like, hey, I've just hung the washing out, and they have to run and get it in again. But just embrace it. And don't try to figure it out. Life's hard enough. It's hard enough. Don't try to figure it out.
two scriptures. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And remember your trophy, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Because if the enemy can steal that, you flat, you're out on your face, he just kicks you out. So hold on to that. Amen.
Amen.
Pull it from heaven and let it manifest in the natural.
Thank you, Lord. I don't know what these red numbers look like. I think we're like, yeah, we're all good.
Good. Okay, good. All right. So the life lesson question, I actually tied it into the question before that, which we didn't get a chance to answer, which was, what would you tell your 18-year-old self? So I would tell my 18-year-old self, yep, that cute youth leader, he's the one. Stick with him. He's a great kisser.
Youth leaders, where are our youth leaders at? Who wants to serve in youth?
All right. And don't worry about the accountant who likes you. He's no good. Okay. So to my 18-year-old self, I would also say, you're not perfect. I'm not married to a perfect husband. I don't have perfect children. And I certainly don't have perfect grandchildren. And I don't need to compare myself to others who say that they have perfect children and a perfect husband. It's okay. And for the ladies who were there yesterday, you know, I am a pearl in process. I am growing. Whatever season I find myself in, I make the most of that. And I embrace that season. I'm not the finished product, not yet. I'm getting there, but I'm still got a long way to go. You need to learn, 18-year-old Nikki, that whatever season you're in, you need to be content. Whatever comes your way, whatever happens, whatever's thrown at you, is not a mystery to God. He knows that this is going to happen to you. And he has prepared you. Even though you don't realize it, he's already prepared your heart to and given you the skills to work through that, to work through that process. You know, parenting doesn't stop at any particular age. You know, my parents in their late 80s, early 90s are still parenting me. You know, they are still, you know, encouraging me, supporting me, supporting Brian and whatever, you know, it is that we are doing. And just don't give up and find the fun times in every season.
Very good.
You're horrible teenagers. Sorry, young people. They can be quite horrible sometimes, you know. They will grow out of that. They will find a perfect person to marry, and they will give you perfect grandchildren. So hang in there. Don't wish to be in another season than the one you're in, and learn everything you can for that, so that down the line, it's not going to come back, and you have to repeat it again. So learn to be content in whatever season you find yourself, all right?
Thank you, ladies. Let's give them a hand. Like I was saying before, it really is about not being alone. We've got so many connect groups here, so many connect groups, whether it comes from for your marriage. I know there's a couple who want to do love and respect, to parenting, growing kids God's way. Lots of Bible studies about really getting into the Word of God, and that's what all the ladies are saying here. It's about really getting into the Word of God and believing Him for what He says and knowing that He is the only constant in your life. So please be encouraged. You know, everyone's going through something. Everyone is going through something. Okay, don't isolate yourself. Don't be that lone ranger. Okay. Please, there's connect groups. I think probably go on the website. If you're not with a connect group, go on the website. I would say go up to the top today, but there's a Mina's feed down here, so I don't want you to miss out on that. So please go onto the ENAC website or Facebook, ENAC, and get connected. Okay? Get connected. And another thing too was Freedom Weekend. We've got one coming up in the calendar, so keep your eyes and ears out for that July. Okay, ladies, we've got one in July. And so Freedom Weekend, again, it's about really getting into God's Word. So then it helps you, you know, we've got other ladies here, and the Holy Spirit himself will show you what you're deceived in, the lies that you're believing about yourself and about other people. Because I don't know if, maybe I'm just talking to myself here, but, you know, when someone says something or does something or looks at you a funny way, do you sort of, you know, get a little bit offended? You know, and before you know it, then you actually start carrying all these offenses that people, you perceive people have said about you, or they have actually said it, and then you don't know how to biblically process that. So, you know, that's what Freedom Weekend's for. It's about helping each other see where we are being deceived in an area, and through the grace of God, by his word, that we would walk in freedom from that.
Wow. What a precious time this has been. Oh my goodness, so many pearls of wisdom. Thank you all so much. I really appreciate your vulnerability, your transparency, just your heart, your humor, and everything that you brought to the table. And thank you, Malia, for leading this. This has been really a precious time. We were all oohing and aahing down in the front row. So God bless you all. I trust that there's a gem there for everybody, whether you're a mother or not. Maybe you're just a young person and you picked up something that they'd said. Maybe you're a grandmother or a grandfather. I mean, these are pearls of wisdom, not just for women and not just for mothers, but for everybody here. And so I'm going to pray, but I just really want to invite us all to participate. So if you've been a bit checked out, I hope you haven't. Because there really was something there for everybody. So I'd like you all to stand, actually, because sometimes that can kind of help us to engage. And I'm going to read a scripture out to you. I don't want to prolong things, but the Lord laid this on my heart this morning. Just close your eyes and I'll read this to you. As I read it, I just want to acknowledge that life is tough. Life is beautiful and there's lots of joys, but also I'm sure that I'm not alone. But I'm with a lot of other people that are going through some tough things. And this is what Jesus said to us. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus, I thank you for leaving us with these words, how it strengthens us in the midst of a busy, tumultuous, and sometimes exceedingly difficult world that we live in. So, Father, all the gems that we've heard this morning, I pray that, Lord, whatever it is that is burning in the heart of each individual here today, that thing that we heard for us in our moment in time, that burden that we're carrying, that yoke, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would lighten that load even right now.
Yes.
And that as we turn our eyes towards you and focus on you and not on the issues of life that surround us and our problems, that you will be the strength of our life and our portion forever. Your word says that you are the strength of my life and my portion forever. You don't give us things that we can't handle. And I know that we think we can't handle them. But God, you know that we can, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that, Lord, your greatness is most seen in our weaknesses. So, God, we come to you as weak vessels today. And we thank you that your strength is all we need. That the joy of the Lord, the joy of knowing you, that your joy over us, because you love us so much, is our strength. So we thank you. And I pray as we go from this place, Lord, that we will be changed just from having a moment with you, of knowing that your burden and your yoke is light, and that we can do all things through Christ. So set our eyes on you, Father, as we go from this place. Help us to keep looking at you, not on our circumstances. And that, God, you would bless every individual in the hearing of my voice with every spiritual blessing, I pray, in Christ Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.